We're in the middle of a series of messages under the heading Growth Track. And along this track or path, God gives us four key markers or indicators to let us know if we're heading in the right direction. You know, like markers on a path through the woods. These four markers mark the path that we need to be following and becoming what God saved us to become. And here they are. You ought to jot them down. Know, grow, go, and sow. Now, there's no sowing without going. And there's no going without growing. And there's no growing without knowing. Now, we began last week with the foundation marker, K-N-O-W, know. Hey, isn't it wonderful that God knows us and he wants us to know him? Hey, that's why Jesus came. That's why Jesus died. And that's why Jesus rose from the grave, so that through his sacrifice and substitute, that we might have a personal relationship with him. Listen, folks, to be known by God and to know God, hey, it makes life worth living. Hey, knowing God begins the moment that you repent of your sin and surrender your life to him. Now, that happened to me in my life as a 9-year-old boy. Hey, what about you? Do you have a moment in your life like that? See, that's the first marker. Know, K-N-O-W. I mean, do you know him? Have you come into a personal relationship with him? Well, if the first marker is know, the second marker is grow. And that's the marker we're looking at today. See, once you know God, put this down, it's grow time. Now, in some ways, knowing God is like a marriage. You know, my wife and I could not grow in our marriage relationship without first being married, any more than you can grow in your relationship with God without first being saved. Now, a marriage relationship that's not growing, man, it's headed in for trouble. Just as a relationship with God that's not growing, it too is headed for trouble. So let me say to every follower of Jesus today, it is grow time. In fact, I want for you what Peter wanted for those saints scattered across Asia when he told them over in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. He says, like newborn infants, desire the pure milk of the word so that you may grow up into your salvation. I'm telling you, God wants his children to grow up. Now, I want to get really personal with you this morning, and I want to ask you a very personal question. Are you a growing Christian? Are you a growing Christian? I mean, can you say with John Newton, the author of the song Amazing Grace, here's what he said. He said, I am not what I might be. I am not what I ought to be. I am not what I wish to be. I am not what I hope to be. But thank God, I'm not what I once was. And I can say with the great apostle, by the grace of God, I am what I am. See, put it down somewhere. Grow follows know like night follows day. So the question is your love for God greater than it was this time last year? Hey, what about your hunger for holiness? Can you say with the psalmist, as a deer longs for flowing streams, so I long for you, God. I thirst for God, the living God. Hey, what about your desire for God's word? I mean, can you say along with the psalmist where he says, how I love your instruction. It is my meditation all day long. And then he goes on to say, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light on my path. Hey, folks, it's grow time. That was Paul's message to the believers at Corinth. You know, I sometimes wonder what God looks upon our spiritual growth, our strength in our life. I mean, what he sees and what he thinks. It's kind of like a story I heard recently. There was a 54-year-old woman who had a heart attack, and she was taken to the hospital. And while on the operating table, she had a near-death experience. And seeing God, she asked, "Is my time up?" And God said, "Oh, no. You've got another 43 years, 2 months, and 8 days to live." Well, upon recovery, the woman decided to stay in the hospital and have a facelift and a tummy tuck. I mean, she even had someone come in and change her hair color and brighten her teeth. I mean, since she had so much time to live, she figured she might as well make the most of it. Well, after her last operation, she was released from the hospital, and while crossing the street on her way home, she got ran over and killed by an ambulance. Well, arriving in heaven in front of God, she said, "I thought you said, God, I had another 43 years, 2 months, and 8 days to live. And so why didn't you pull me from out of the path of that ambulance?" And God looked at her and said, "Well, I didn't recognize you." Hey, I wonder, when God looks upon your life today, what does he see? I mean, does he see a baby Christian? I mean, just a baby Christ, immature. Or maybe he sees a carnal or a fleshly Christian. You know, one who is not grown, that really lives like a lost person. Or maybe he sees a spiritual Christian, one who is growing and being controlled by the Holy Spirit. Well, when it comes to following Jesus, we may be growing older, but are we growing up? Hey, listen, I learned a long time ago that not everybody that grows old grows up. And when that happens in the church, envy, strife, and divisions are sure to follow. In fact, that's what we find taking place in the church at Corinth. In fact, we're going to find in chapter 3 that envy, strife, and divisions are marks of an immature fellowship, one made up of baby Christians rather than mature Christians. Well, let's begin reading. I'm in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, as we keep in mind that it is time to grow up. It's grow time. Here's what Paul says. He says, "Brothers, I was not able to speak to you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as babes or babies in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, because you weren't ready for that. In fact, you're still not ready, because you are still fleshly. For since there is envy and strife among you, are you not fleshly and living like unbelievers? For whenever somebody says, 'Well, I'm with Paul,' and another, 'Well, I'm with Apollos,' are you not unspiritual people? I mean, what then is Apollos? And what is Paul? They are servants through whom you believed, and each has the role the Lord has given. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth." Now, I want you to look at that last phrase here in verse 7. He says here, "But only God who gives the growth." Hey, it's grow time. Hey, and during this season in the life of our church, I mean, for us to be maximized and reaching people across the streets and across the states and across the seas, we need every member to be a growing member. Listen, we've been commanded over in 2 Peter 3:18, where Peter says to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the Bible commands us to be growing. Now, I can hear some of you thinking, "Well, I may be too far down the road, really, to grow. I mean, after all, I'm not as young as I used to be." Hey, I want you to look up here for just a moment, and I want you to hear me real good and clear. You are not too old to grow. You're not too old to grow. And if you think you are, I want you to listen to Psalm 92, verses 12 through 14. For all you folks that think you're too old to grow, listen to this. He says, "The righteous thrive like a palm tree and grow like a cedar tree in Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they thrive in the courts of our God." Now listen to this. "They will still bear fruit in old age, healthy and green. Did you hear that last part? They will still bear fruit in old age, healthy and green. You know what that means? That means that you and I still have fruit to bear. In fact, you may bear more fruit when you're older than you did when you were younger. In fact, frankly, that's what I'm hoping and praying for me. I mean, up to this point in my life, I mean, my life has been fruitful. But I'm praying that the last season of my life bears more fruit than ever before. Listen to it again. They will still bear fruit in old age, healthy and green. And notice, not just any kind of fruit, but healthy fruit, green fruit, not unhealthy fruit, not brown fruit. Well, for it to be grow time in your life and in the life of every member of our church, there are a couple of Bible truths that I want to share with you from God's Word today. First of all, I want you to think with me about the producer of growth. The producer of growth. See, somebody says, well, Ernest, man, I just don't know if I have it in me to grow. You don't know if you have it in you to grow? I mean, really? I mean, what do you mean you don't have it in you to grow? You do if you're saved. I mean, you do if you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you. I mean, what do you think you have to have in you to grow anyway? Are you listening? The Holy Spirit dwelling in you is all you need in you to grow. You see, He is the growth factor. He is the growth force. He is the growth fuel. In fact, it's impossible to spiritually grow in your own power and in your own resources. I'm just saying it'll be a great day in your life when you realize that spiritual growth, listen to me, it is not your responsibility. That's the Holy Spirit's responsibility. Our role is to stay connected to Jesus so that He can produce spiritual growth in our lives. In fact, that's what Jesus tells us over in John chapter 15, verse 5. Listen to this. He says, I am the vine. You are the what? You are the branches. The one who remains or abides in me, and I in him, watch this, produces much fruit because you can do nothing without me. Hey, you can put this down. Where there's no abiding, there's no growing. And when there's no growing, there's no fruit. Think of it this way. We do the abiding. God does the growing. So the question is, are you abiding in Him? Are you remaining in Him? Well, you are if you're growing. I mean, you are if you're bearing fruit. You are if your fruit is healthy and green. You say, well, Ernest, how do I abide or remain in Him? I mean, I want to spiritually grow. I long for spiritual growth. But what's my part if it's the Holy Spirit's part to produce my much-needed growth? Well, man, that's a great question. Well, for starters, take this word abide or remain. I'm going to use both those words because both words are found in various translations. The word abide or remain, it's an agricultural word. Now, Jesus refers to Himself in the text as the vine and us as what? Branches. You know, Jesus was a master of using word pictures to communicate truth. I mean, I can see Him walking along the path and with His disciples, and they're on the ground. He sees a vine, and He sees a branch growing alongside of it. I can see Him putting His hand up and saying, hey, let's just stop here a minute, guys. And I want you to look here on the ground. See the vine and the branch? See, I'm the vine, and you are the branches. And the one who remains or abides in me, and I in him, produces much fruit. You're like you see on the ground there. Because, frankly, you can do nothing without me. See, they observed that the branch was connected to the vine. See, the branch grows out of the vine. In fact, with the naked eye, you can't tell where the vine starts and the branch ends, or where the branch starts and the vine ends. That intersection of where the vine and the branch meet is what this word abide or remain refers to. The branch is abiding in the vine. And for us to abide or remain in Christ, for us to have the same relationship to Him that the branch has with the vine. You ought to put this down somewhere. Abiding produces growth. Did you hear that? Abiding or remaining produces growth. All right? So what's involved in our abiding or remaining in Him? Well, I want you to look in your Bible here to verse 7. And in verse 7, we find there are two requirements to abide in Christ. You ought to mark these down. All right? Verse 7. He says, if you remain or abide in me, and my words remain or abide in you. Do you see that in verse 7? Listen, the way to abide in Him is by getting into His word and obeying it. So how does this word abide in you? I mean, how do we do that? Well, by getting His word into you. When Jesus says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, here's what He's saying. He's saying, I want you to get into my word so that my word can get into you. See, spiritual growth results from abiding in Him, and abiding in Him results from getting into God's word, and God's word getting into you. Now, somebody says, well, Ernest, I mean, how do I get into God's word and God's word get into me? Well, let me make a few suggestions. Number one is to read His word. Listen, you've got to be reading God's word. I mean, on a regular, daily basis. I was talking to somebody the other day, what they're doing right now, and I've done it before as well. They read a couple of chapters from Psalms. They read the proverb of the day. For instance, if it's, let's say, it's October the 11th. So today we read Proverbs 11. And then one chapter out of the gospel, maybe John's gospel. So they read from Proverbs, that gives us wisdom. They read from the Psalms, that teaches us to worship. And then they read from the gospels, that teaches us about Jesus. I mean, that's one way to do it. This year, I'm reading through the Bible, and I'm almost through for the year. You've got to be reading His word, all right? Here's the second way of doing it. We've got to study His word. Now, most of us need help in studying. I know I do. And that's why getting in a small group is so crucial to you learning God's word. Now, we need the fellowship for sure. And our small groups are a great outreach tool as well. But to study His word, that small group study time is crucial for getting His word into us. I give you a third option. Memorize His word. Now, I can hear some of you say, well, man, I'm just too old. I know you're not. Listen, don't use your age as an excuse to be lazy. I don't care how old you are. You can still memorize His word. Here's another way. Get under the teaching and preaching of His word. That's why it's so important to be involved in a worship time on Sunday, Wednesday night Bible study, small groups. Hey, get yourself under the teaching and preaching of His word. Next, let His word sink into your hearts and your thoughts. And as you open God's word, saying, God, as I read your word today, help your word to sink into my heart, to sink into my mind, and make an impact today. Obey His word daily. We ought to be obeying what we read each day. Hey, and let God's word shape and mold your life. Now, I want you to notice what Jesus said as a result of abiding. It's found here in John chapter 15, verse 5. He says, the one who remains or abides in me, and I in him, watch this, produces much fruit. Do you see that? Produces much fruit. Now, if you write in your Bible, you ought to circle those words or underline them. Produces much fruit. Or just underline it. Produces much fruit. And then in the margin of your Bible, right next to that phrase, you ought to write the word growth. G-R-O-W-T-H, growth. See, the first requirement for abiding is getting into His Word so that His Word can get into you. All right? You go back to verse 7. He says, if you remain or abide in me, and my words remain or abide in you, ask whatever you want, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. Now, here's the second requirement for abiding. It's really simple. Here it is. Staying in His presence. Staying in His presence. It's found there in verse 7 when He says, if you remain or abide in me and my words remain or abide in you, that's staying in the truth. Ask whatever you want. That's staying in His presence. Staying in His Word, staying in His presence. Or think of it this way. Time in His Word plus time in His presence equals grow time. I'm telling you, it's grow time for every believer and every member of our fellowship. See, the producer of growth. Listen, you're not the producer of growth. You say, well, I need to grow. Wonderful. But remember, you don't produce the growth. That's the job of the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. But it's as we spend time in His Word and time in His presence, we abide in Him. And it's as we abide in Him, watch this, He produces the growth. So there is the producer of growth. But quickly, let me talk to you a moment about the product of growth. The product of growth. I mean, when the Bible talks to us about growing much, I mean, what kind of growth are we talking about here? I mean, if Jesus tells us that by abiding in Him, that we will produce much fruit, I mean, what kind of fruit are we producing? Well, I think there's a lot of different kinds of fruit, but let me just mention a few to you. One is the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. That's a part of that producing much fruit. Now, I think you will know that's found over in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Paul here says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. How are you doing so far? Goodness, faith, gentleness, self-control. And then he adds, against such things, there is no law. See, fruit suggests life. There can be no fruit apart from life. And spiritual fruit is the product of spiritual growth. And spiritual growth is the product of abiding. And abiding is a product, or it produces life. So here's the Galatians chapter 5 test for spiritual growth. Is the Holy Spirit producing the fruit of the Spirit in my life? Hey, that's the test. Is the Holy Spirit producing the fruit of the Spirit in my life? Well, you say, well, Ernest, I think He is. Hey, do you want to know how to know for sure? Ask your wife. Hey, she'll tell you. Ask her, hey, is the fruit of the Spirit growing in my life? Ask your wife. Hey, or ask your husband. Hey, better still, ask your children. They'll be honest with you. See, where there is a lack of fruit, there is a lack of abiding. Now, what that may mean for you is it may be time to reconnect time for you. I mean, so that there can be a grow time for you. See, when Jesus talked about abiding with Him so that we might produce much fruit, He was talking about things like the fruit of the Spirit. But not only the fruit of the Spirit, I think He was also talking about the fruit of unity. The fruit of unity. You say, where do you find that? Well, it's over in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 12. So in the text, He says, equipping the saints for the work of ministry to build up the body of Christ. Now watch this. Until we all reach, what's that next word? Unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, watch this, growing into maturity with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. Then we will no longer be little children, tossed by the waves and blown around by every word of teaching. Now go back to that previous verse. Hey, if you underline or circle words in your Bible, you ought to circle this word unity, okay? And you ought to circle the word growing. You see that? He talks about unity, and he talks about growing. Unity, watch this, is a byproduct of growing. You ought to write that down. Unity is a byproduct of growing. In fact, did you know that God uses our unity to help bring people to salvation? Well, he does. In fact, that's why Jesus prayed what he did over in John chapter 17 in verse 20. Jesus is praying. We're eavesdropping a little bit. He says, I pray not only for these, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. You know who he's talking about? Listen, he's praying for you. He's praying for me, for those who will believe in me through their word. And then he goes on to say, may they all be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. May they also be one in us so that, watch this, the world may believe you sent me. Hey, do you realize today that even the worst pagan in Bradley County knows that the people in here ought to be getting along with each other? And when they see and hear of our unity, God uses it to help draw the lost unto himself. You know why? Because they don't see unity out in the world. They don't see it in politics. They don't see it at work. And all of a sudden, you've got a variety of kinds of people in a fellowship. And when they're unified, man, it catches their eye. It catches their ear. And when they get wind of it, or when they come and experience it, God uses, listen, our unity to draw the lost unto himself. Hey, it's no wonder that the psalmist says in Psalm 133, verse 1, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Another translation puts it this way, how good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony. I mean, look at that phrase again. Dwell together in unity. Just think about this for a moment. Dwell together in unity. And here's what that tells me. We can dwell together without dwelling together in unity. I mean, we can be together without being together. I give you an illustration. Don't try it. But you can tie two cat's tails together and let them go and see what happens. That they may be together, but I'm telling you, they're not together. Listen, we need to be together, together. We need not only to dwell together, to be together, but folks, listen, we need to dwell together in unity. And our unity is a byproduct of our growing in grace. Hey, do you know why it's important for me to be spiritually growing? I'm going to tell you why. Look in a mirror, your why. Your children, your wife, your husband, people in your Sunday school class, people in the building, you are the reason that I need to be growing spiritually. And you know why it's important for you to be growing spiritually? Look right here. For me, for my family, for my grandchildren, for my friends, for my neighbors. That's why. We're why. And I'll take it a step further. Listen, we need to be found spiritually growing to produce a spirit of unity for the sake of every lost person living in Bradley County. Jesus prayed about our unity so that the world may believe that you sent me. So that the world may believe that you sent me. So, I'm willing to set aside my preferences for the sake of our unity, for their sake, for their souls, for their salvation. But when the church is void of unity, it lessens the odds of lost people becoming saved. You might be familiar with Chuck Colson. I was reading a book by him the other day. Chuck Colson said this. He said, without an effort to be one with each other, we undermine our own evangelistic efforts. He goes on to say, but often we have trouble loving those in our own church who have offended or slighted us, or those who have a different idea about the music program. I've sometimes seen more bickering in Christian groups than I can remember in the secular world. Reconciliation with the church requires a surrender of pride and a willingness to put God's interest over our own interest. Peacemaking within the congregation should be a high priority. I was reading recently a book by Francis Schaeffer. Actually, it was a little booklet called The Mark of a Christian. And in that little booklet, he's describing the importance of our unity and love for one another. Here's what he said. Schaeffer, I quote, bitter division, Schaeffer said, gave the world the right to disbelieve the gospel. And then he goes on to remind us that in essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. And in all things, charity. In all things, charity. See, that's why the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3, making every effort. Did you hear that? Making not some effort, kind of effort, but every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. So that the world, hey, let me just personalize that. So that my neighbor, my work associate, my friends, my family may believe you sent me. See, these are the product of growth. There's the fruit of the Spirit and the spirit of unity. All right, let me give you one more. And that's the spirit of a healthy self-image. Now, I'm reading out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. Paul says here, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put aside childish things. Let me tell you, spiritual growth produces a healthy self-image. In fact, you ought to write these words down. I heard them years ago. And here it is. The me I see is the me I'll be. Did you hear that? The me I see is the me I'll be. See, that's why every believer should be a growing believer. Spiritual growth allows me to see who I am in Christ. And knowing who I am in Christ gives me a healthy self-image. Hey, do you want to know why so many of us struggle with self-worth? It's because we base our self-worth on being accepted by others. Think of it this way. If that group or if that person accepts me, man, that gives me self-worth. That means I must be worth something. And my self-worth gives me confidence and assurance and happiness. But the problem with that is this. When that group or that person doesn't accept me, man, my self-worth diminishes, removing my confidence, my assurance, and peace. See, when your self-worth depends upon the acceptance of others, I'm just telling you, you're in trouble. But let me let you in on a secret that comes from spiritual growth. You listening? When you come to understand that your self-worth is not based on others' acceptance of you or that group's acceptance of you, but it's based on God's acceptance of you, then it doesn't matter who accepts you. I mean, when your confidence and assurance and peace and self-worth is based on the fact that God accepts you, Let me tell you, you're going to have a healthy self-image. See, for the me I see is the me I'll be. Hey, folks, man, it's growth time. It's growth time. The producer of growth is the Spirit of God that dwells within us. It's as we stay close to Jesus, by staying in His Word, staying in His presence, it results in abiding. By abiding in Him, we produce much growth. He produces much growth in us. He's the producer, the product of growth, the fruit of the Spirit of unity, the spirit of a healthy self-image. Hey, listen to me. It's growth time. Are you listening? It's growth time. Hey, don't settle for less when there's so much more. Stay in the Word. Stay in His presence. See, first know, K-N-O-W, then grow. First comes know, then grow. Before you can grow in the Lord, you've got to first know the Lord. And see, a lot of so-called Christians, they never grow because they've never known. They've never had an intimate relationship with Christ. And that may be you today. You know, you look at your spiritual life and you think about these products of growth, fruit of the Spirit, fruit of unity, healthy self-image. And you look at your spiritual life today and you say, you know, man, I've been a, quote, Christian for a long time. But man, none of those things have happened in my life. I mean, to be honest, I have really not grown at all spiritually. And when God looks upon me, man, I think He sees a baby instead of a mature, growing believer. And maybe you've known the Lord for a long, long time, and you still haven't grown. Hey, you know what? It may be because you've never really known. You've got to first know God and have a life-changing salvation experience with Him through His Son Christ before you can ever grow. See, grow follows know like night follows day. And you say, I'm not growing, I've never grown. Listen, the greatest need in your life today is not to think about grow. You need to back up a step and think about know. Do I know Him? I mean, has there been a time that I have turned from my sin and by faith trust Him as my Lord and Savior? Am I born again? Have I been saved? Am I spiritually alive? Remember, everything that's alive grows. I mean, growth is only natural where there's life. And if there's no life in you, this is the greatest thing you can do today is bow a knee, bow a heart, ask God to forgive you of your sin. Hey, would you pray with me right now? Father, we thank you so much for this series we're on in called Growth Track. And Lord, we've talked about know, we've talked about grow. And for those that honestly look upon their life today, no matter how old they are, and they say, you know, I've been a, quote, Christian, or I've been a church member for a long time, but really and truly, there has been absolutely no growth in my life. No growth to a hunger for His Word, my desire to be holy, for worship, to be a witness, to give, all these things that are just natural where there's spiritual life. God, I pray that even as I'm praying, that they would pray a simple prayer of saying, Lord Jesus, come into my life today. Forgive me of all my sin. Be the Savior of my life. I'm willing to turn from my sin and by faith turn to you as my Savior and as my Lord. God, thank you for saving me in this very moment, in this very place. And now that you have come in my life, may I stay in your presence. May I stay in your Word so I can abide with you so that by abiding, I may grow. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You know, some of you today are here and you're thinking, well, man, I am a growing Christian. I'm in the process of becoming all I can before God. I want to remind you, grow follows know, like night follows day. And I want to encourage you to stay in the Word of God, to read it, to get in a small group, get under the teaching and preaching of God's Word, memorize God's Word, make it a part of your life. Be obedient each day as you read God's Word. And remember, God always blesses obedience. May God bless you in your spiritual pilgrimage, and may you continue to grow because it's growth time.